Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. Now, we're really glad you're able to join us again this morning, and as most of you know, Pastor Reynolds has been going over a series dealing with the way of salvation. Now, if you give me just a second to recap some of the things that we've learned so far. One, of course, is that salvation is by grace, and it's not of our deeds. We learned that Jesus Christ was and is God, yet he came down to this earth, took on the form of a man, lived a perfect life, and then willingly died for my sins. We learned that we're not saved by following the law, but we also learned that the law was used to show us our need of a Savior, and he alone was able to keep the law perfectly, and he alone could be the sacrifice for our sins. You might think, well, what else is left on this topic of salvation? But there is still so much more yet to come. So before we lose any more time, let's go ahead and turn the broadcast over to Pastor Reynolds as he continues on this topic of the way of salvation.
Jesus Christ has made a full atonement for our sins. Remember this, Jesus Christ has not made a partial atonement for our sins. But Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the living God, has made a full atonement for our sins. This is exactly what the Bible states in the book of Isaiah 53, verse 4 and verse 5. The Bible says here, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." You see, it is by the suffering that Jesus Christ performed for us on the cross of Calvary that we are healed of the guilt of our sins. Jesus Christ did not have any kind of sin at all. He was perfect. The reason that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary was for our sins. Jesus Christ was buried in a rich man's tomb, and Jesus Christ was risen from the dead on the third day for our justification. You see, our good works and our willingness to suffer are not the cause of God the Father cleansing us from all sin, whether that's past sin, present sin, or whether that is future sin. You see, any good works that we do, or any willingness on our part to suffer for the cause of Christ, is not the cause of the free gift that he gave to us. It is the gift of salvation. It is the gift of eternal service. It is the gift of eternal life. It's amazing to me that the Ethiopian eunuch was going back home from Jerusalem, and he was reading in the book of Isaiah. Here is the story of a New Testament person who is saved because he is reading in the Old Testament. Sometimes we overlook that point altogether. But this man was lost, and God caused Philip to go down and preach to him the truth of the Word of God. And the eunuch was then saved. Matthew 20 and verse 28 makes this point. The Bible says here, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Here, 10 of the disciples have indignation against two other disciples because their mother has asked Christ if her two sons could sit on either side of him in his eternal kingdom. Christ then explained that the system of this world is not as the system of heaven. On this earth, there are those over us whom we must obey. But in spiritual matters, it is different because every true believer is a servant to other believers. Just as Jesus Christ gave his life for others, so we ought to give our lives for others. But notice this, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ died that sinners could be saved. If Jesus Christ had chosen not to die, no sinners would ever have been saved. That is an absolute fact. The Bible states in the book of Romans 4 and verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. It is not that Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross for his sins, because he didn't have any sins. Rather, Jesus Christ gave his life for our offenses. Jesus Christ is absolutely, totally perfect. He did not have any offenses. He did not have any sins to die for. He is the only begotten Son of God that died that we might have life. But why was Jesus Christ raised from the dead? For his sake alone? No, but Jesus Christ was raised from the dead for our justification. Justification means the act of God declaring that men are free from guilt and acceptable to him. Romans 4:25 clearly states that Christ was delivered to die for us. After death, he would not stay dead because he is the only begotten Son of God. He is the Son of the everlasting God. He was dead for 3 days and three nights to prove to all that he was really dead. At the end of that 3 days, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead to show to all the world that he has made sinful man free from guilt, and that wicked, sinful men can be acceptable to him. We are acceptable to God not because of any good work we ever do. We are acceptable to God through what Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, has done for us on the cross of Calvary. We are acceptable to God through what Jesus Christ has done for us. Not only the great gift he gave for us by dying in our place on the cross of Calvary, but also in raising from the dead to prove to all that we are made right, that we are acceptable to him. How can we prove to this world that Christ has done all of this for us? Listen, first of all, by believing in him, by trusting in him, not in trusting in what you have done. Second of all, by submitting ourselves to scriptural baptism in the local church that Jesus Christ gave authority to baptize. And third of all, by being faithful to Jesus Christ the remainder of our lives. This is how we can be found faithful unto Almighty God. The Bible states in the book of 1 John 4 and verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. If you really want to know what real love is, look to God, who loved us so much that God sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for us, to take our place on the cross of Calvary. The word propitiation means to appease. There is not anything we can do or ever will do that will appease God in heaven for our sins. This is exactly why Jesus Christ gave the first promise ever in Genesis 3:15 when sin first came into the world. Genesis 3:15 reads this way, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In this place, in Genesis 3 and verse 15, God is speaking to the serpent, telling the serpent of the curse that will be placed upon him. When God uses the word enmity, he speaks of a hatred or separation between the serpent and the woman. This is strange, is it not? The woman, the one Satan used to get Adam to sin, is the very one that Satan will hate. She will also be protected by God during this time of hatred, because God protects her from Satan by placing her under the authority of her husband. What in the world does God have on his mind? You see, it is through this protected one, the woman, that God will use to send his only begotten Son into the world to redeem the world from their sins. This is why Genesis 3:15 states that God will cause enmity or hatred between Satan and the woman. The woman he befriended in the Garden of Eden. God declares that he will put a separation caused by hatred between believers and unbelievers. The separation is Christ, who will bruise, that is, he will crush the head, the chief part of Satan, while Satan will only bruise or crush the heel, that is, the rear or the footprint of Christ. This is exactly why 1 John 4:1-3 emphatically declares, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Whereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Listen, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is Antichrist. Just because the Spirit tells you something doesn't mean you are to believe that Spirit. 1 John 4:1 states, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." You see, every person should approve or disapprove every spirit to see whether that spirit is of God or not. Today, there's many, many false prophets in this wicked world. But do not be in despair. God has told us how to determine whether a spirit is of God or not. Verse 2 states that every true spirit of God willingly confesses that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, is come into the world. Therefore, we know that every spirit that refuses to confess that Jesus Christ has come into the world is not of God. And the spirit that refuses to confess that Christ is come into the world is Antichrist.
You know, can you imagine someone living in this world and being perfect? You know, we're surrounded by sin on all sides, and there is much temptation. Yet Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life and then gave himself as a sacrifice for your sins. And if you've never accepted him as your personal Savior, I encourage you to take a look at this very serious topic today. Don't let this life keep you so busy that you run away from your need of a Savior. And we pray that even today you will see your need, repent of your sins, believe in Jesus Christ, and ask him to save your soul. Now, if you'd like to talk to us about it, please call us. You can reach us at 636-673-2180. Again, that's 636-673-2180. Or you can come by and visit us. We're located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Our services will be starting this morning with Sunday school at 10 a.m., followed by worship service at 11, a prayer meeting at 3:45 this afternoon, and worship services again this afternoon at 4:30. And then during the week, we'll also be meeting for our weekly Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Now, if you need more information about our location or our beliefs, you can log on to our website at independencebaptist.org. From there, you'll be able to listen to many different sermons and read a lot of different articles, including articles about this very important message of salvation. Well, our time is once again gone, but we're thankful you're able to join us, and we encourage you to tune in again next week at 8 a.m. for another message about the way of salvation.